All right. So thus far, we've talked some about, last night, Blaine's focus was on hospitality toward those inside the church. And then just now, Johnny was addressing the topic of hospitality toward those outside the church. And we need to consider a third hospitality focus. And really, as we talk about this, we're looking at the source and the motivation and the power for hospitality. Hospitality toward people has as its source this hospitality that we're going to talk about, and I'll call it divine hospitality. So, many of us are familiar with 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. And so, an adaptation of that important truth is we're hospitable because he was first hospitable toward us. And that's my message. I thought that would garner some applause. Here's a passage in Psalm 36. If you want to open up, you can. Psalm 36, verses 7 through 9, gives a short sequence of images that really picture the hospitality of God toward human beings. How precious is your steadfast love, O God! The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. So, one picture there is the picture of the mother bird, perhaps a hen or an eagle or something else, but it's a bird, and the bird is protecting its young under her wings. And that's a common picture that we see in Scripture of God's protection of us. We take shelter in the shadow of his wings. And I think that is a beautiful picture of God's hospitality toward us. Yes, it's protection, it's warmth, it's harbor. That word that Blaine was using last night, it's harboring. The mother bird harbors the chicks. And that's us in relation to God. As we come to know him through Jesus, our Savior, we experience that harboring under his wings. I know, growing up the way I grew up, I just felt a deficit of that. That's what I wanted, that's what I longed for, is that sense of being under the wings. And I didn't have it. I just was so insecure. And so I thought, mistakenly, that what I needed was the wings of the right woman in my life to be that for me and to provide that kind of sense of security, safety, protection. And boy, was I wrong. But that's basically the narrative of my life, is to move from being exposed, out there, unprotected, and very unhappy, to being under the shelter of his wings, experiencing his hospitality. So that's one image that we have here in Psalm 36. A second image, verse 8, they feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. So there's the feasting, the house, the picture of a house, God's house, into which we are invited, and there we eat with him. We feast with him. And that, too, is a very common. That's the image I want to pick up on here in a minute and look at several examples from Scripture. But there's one more, at least, in this passage in Psalm 36. In your light do we see light. I think that's another beautiful picture of hospitality. If you remember the Motel 6, I think it's Motel 6 advertising slogan, we'll leave the light on. Light is a picture of home. And you know, it's where we want to be. We don't want to be lost, wandering in the darkness. We want to be home and in the light, and that's what God offers, and that's his hospitality toward us. So, Psalm 36 images. But honing in now on the theme, the picture, especially of God's hospitality in terms of a house into which he invites us and feeds us, we see this theme from Genesis to Revelation, running through Scripture from the beginning to the very end. In Genesis, what's the Garden of Eden all about? God prepares a place for Adam and Eve, for his created man-child and mate. He prepares a place. He is their host. He provides abundant food for them. That's Eden. And in Genesis chapter 1, God says to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, exercise dominion over the earth. And the very next thing he says there, after that, after fill the earth, then he says, here's your menu, behold. Like, and he points out, look at all the green things that I've created for you to eat and enjoy. And all kinds of fruit. So that's the sequence. Be fruitful, multiply, exercise dominion, and by the way, here's your menu for enjoying Eden. And it's in terms of all the things that he's made for them to enjoy, all the food and drink. Tim Chester made this comment, the world is more delicious than it needs to be. Think about that. It's so true. We could survive perfectly well on bland food and no variety, but God has just ordained it differently, and it's for our enjoyment, and I think especially to give a picture to us of the way he is, not a bland God, but one who gives us great pleasure and enjoyment just in knowing him. So then jumping ahead to Jesus, there's the theme of hospitality running through the gospel accounts of the life of Jesus very strongly. Jesus exercised a mealtime ministry from start to finish. It's just, you see him over and over and over again sitting down at table with people that he is reaching out to. He came eating and drinking, and that's what he did. One of my favorite examples is in the Gospel of John at the very end, after he's risen from the dead, and his disciples are still a little bit confused about where is he? What does he look like? And they don't recognize him on the beach when they're out in the boat fishing. They fish all night, catch nothing. Jesus tells them, he calls out to them from the shore, children, do you have any fish? No. Cast the net on the right side of the boat. And of course, that's the episode where they catch, I think, 153 is the number, 153 fish. And then they come to the shore. Peter gets wet doing so. And there at the shore, he has a charcoal fire burning, and he has fish. I don't know where he got his fish, but he has fish cooking on the fire for breakfast and bread, and he feeds them breakfast. That is iconic. That image of Jesus on the beach serving breakfast to his disciples is just, that captures God's heart and his character toward us, a hospitable God. And I think, yeah, it really happened, and with those particular details, that's a true account, it's something that happened, but it's also highly representational. It just pictures the way God is toward us. And so we can enjoy that. It's the way he is toward us. Earlier, moving back earlier on in the ministry of Jesus, we have, of course, the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 6,000. Jesus is just serving an abundance of food to feed an abundance of people. And he's inviting them into the kingdom. And that's the occasion, is a meal with physical food. But he's really offering them spiritual food and life with him, shared with him forever. He speaks of the marriage feast to come several times in the course of his ministry, several times in terms of parables. But this theme is strong running through those 3 years of ministry in Jesus. the mealtime ministry theme. And it's as though Jesus is saying, welcome to the new creation. Join me for dinner. That's the focus. And come as you are, because the people that he invites, the people that he hangs with, are just anyone. It's tax gatherers, sinners, and the needy, and the outcast. Those are the ones that especially are drawn to him. So, hospitality. We see it in the Garden of Eden. We see it in the ministry of Jesus. The Greek word is, I think Blaine pointed this out last night, the Greek word for hospitality actually means love to strangers. Love to strangers. A good Merriam-Webster definition of hospitality is generous and friendly treatment of visitors and guests. Generous and friendly. So we, all of us, in relation to God, were in the place of strangers. We were the strangers. Jesus puts us on his guest list, and he sends out an invitation, and it comes right to our address, and he opens a shut door, and he welcomes us in, and he anoints us, washes us, and he feeds us. He feeds us generously. And so, you know, that's the narrative. It's a hospitality narrative. That's God himself inviting the stranger in and making the stranger welcome and part of his family. That's the gospel. And of course, it happens through the agency of Christ going to the cross and bearing our sins and making a way. That's how the shut door becomes open and the invitation goes out. We have a God of hospitality. Now, salvation, the salvation that comes to us strangers from God, who is our loving host, it is pictured in Scripture over and over in terms of a feast. And I want to share six passages here that illustrate this. And these should be, most of them, fairly familiar to you. One is in Psalm 23. Psalm 23, of course, is the shepherd song. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We have that picture of God being a shepherd to his people. But the final two verses kind of shift the metaphor. And there, God becomes a host. And so we read in verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 23, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So there's God as host, a good host, a generous host. He lays his table out before us, and he pours out an abundance to us for our enjoyment. But the key element is that he's there. He's there. And we're with him, and we're enjoying the feast with him in his presence. And ultimately, as we'll see, he himself is the feast. That's Psalm 23. Isaiah 25, this is prophetic language describing the feast to come at the end. And it's described this way, on this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for his people, for all peoples, a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine, well refined. So a feast for all peoples on the mountaintop. That's the end. That's what we're moving toward. That's what we look forward to. But it's all about God's hospitality of people who don't deserve it. God inviting the strangers who are no longer strangers, but who know him now, who are welcome in his house. He invites them to his feast at the end. Another one is Psalm 55, and rather Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 and 2. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. come to the waters. That's just the invitation to all strangers everywhere in all time to come to him and to enter into his house and enjoy his hospitality, enjoy his feast. And then there's Luke, this familiar example from Luke chapter 15. It's the story of the prodigal son, the lost son. He runs away, basically strays away, and then he decides, I think I'll go home. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. So in that story, of course, the father represents our God and his heart, the way his heart is inclined to the one who wanders, the one who strays, the one who rebels. He welcomes home the rebel. And that welcoming and that salvation is pictured again as a great feast, a feast of welcome. Luke 22 is Luke's account of the Last Supper. The hour came, Jesus reclined at table, the apostles with him. He said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. So there is an example of salvation, our salvation in Christ, again pictured as a feast, a supper, an act of hospitality of God toward us. And it is something we continue to do right up through today, literally this morning. So we're about to do it. But the point is, we have a hospitable God, a God who loves the stranger, wants us, and makes a way for us to come into his house to enjoy him and to enjoy his feast. Finally, this last example is from Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 19. And, it's the voice of a great multitude, and the words that they sing are, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So there's the ultimate feast, the final culminating act of hospitality in God's relationship with his people. He has them prepared as his bride, and they enter into his presence, and they sit down for the marriage supper. Our God is a hospitable God. We experience that through being rescued and brought near when that's not what we deserved. So all the way from Eden to eternity, from the world at its dawning to the new world to come, we have this theme of God's hospitality, most frequently pictured in terms of a feast, God's feast that he lays out before us for us to enjoy. God created the world so that we might eat with him. That's Tim Chester again, but I love that. God created the world so that we might eat with him. This is the ultimate hospitality. And our acts of hospitality in our own households toward one another and toward outsiders are little pictures of what God is doing and will do toward us. But the ultimate hospitality is all about Christ opening up the door to God's house so that we can enter in and be welcomed and experience his love. And that happens through his death. And he invites us in. He says, come. And there's that invitation that's repeated in the Gospels. Come to me, all you who are weary, who labor, who are heavy laden. There's that invitation. He spoke those words then to particular people, but those are living words that speak to our hearts today and to all those who yet do not know him. Come, he says, come into my house. Experience my love, experience my feast. And then Jesus himself, ultimately, is the food and the drink that we enjoy. And that's what he's talking about when he says, I am the bread of life. He who comes shall not hunger. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. So God's hospitality means he's offering himself. He says, come to me, enter into my house. We can do that because Jesus came to us, died for us in our place for our sins. And now the door is open. The invitation has gone out, and we get to say, yes, I'm coming by his grace. God's hospitality, as I've described it, makes a huge difference in our lives as his children. Because, you know, we love because he first loved us. We're hospitable because first he has been hospitable toward us. And we continue to experience that hospitality morning by morning, day by day, as we open our hearts to him and draw near and respond to his invitation again today, come to me. So divine hospitality makes us hospitable. Romans 15:7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. So if you experience his welcome, and you have, most everyone here has, then your heart is inclined to be like his heart, to have a welcoming heart. It transforms us. To experience his hospitality transforms us to where maybe before, that's the last thing we wanted to think about or do. But now our hearts are new. And with our new hearts, we want to invite people into our lives. We want to invite them into our homes. We want to warm up to them and welcome them and experience a feast with them. So experiencing his welcome inclines us to welcome others both inside the church and outside the church. Experiencing his love inclines our hearts to love others, our brothers and sisters, and our neighbors and strangers, just because he's given us a new heart. And that's the glory of his hospitality toward us.